We had some technical problems and were not able to record the first few minutes of the service.
I am Chuck Getzler from Trinity Lutheran Church. I'll be reading three themes, all three of which have a psalm verse from the Old Testament and a gospel verses from the New Testament. The verdict, Psalm 22, verses 16 and 17. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. From John 19, 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. The tempters. Psalm 22, verses 12 and 13. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. From Matthew 27, verses 39 through 42. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." The cynics. Psalm 22, verse 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And from Matthew 27, verse 43. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God."
Steve Long from Christ Chapel, and I too will be reading three different themes, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The first theme is thirst. Psalm 22, 14 through 15. Jesus said, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." John 19, 28 and 29. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. The next theme is darkness. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me, from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? And then Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The next theme then is, it's finished. Zechariah 12:10, they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Luke 23:46-47. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, unto your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. John 19:34. One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water.
Is called Ah, Holy Jesus. Would you like to say thank you to that fine bell choir? Oh, my gravy. I love the way you had them so intent on all their parts. I even love the way you've got them dressed appropriately by sections. I notice if you're playing the high notes, you're wearing sandals. If you're playing the low notes, you've got closed-toed shoes. Wow. That kind of coordination is a rare thing. My name is Tom Bolton. I pastor 3 United Methodist churches here in Mercer County, Fort Recovery Church, Erastus Church, and Coldwater Church. And I am just delighted at the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you today. I've asked my newfound friend, Pastor Robin, if she would offer a prayer for the sermon before we get started.
Lord, today we pray that you would speak through your servant, that we would all have open ears to hear your word as we gather together at the foot of the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is Good Friday. And so, of course, I want to share with you something about the cross. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." The message is called "What Jesus Christ Will Have Been Doing." It is Good Friday. I'm sure that's not news to anybody. What a hard thing for the unbeliever to understand. What an impossible thing for the unbelieving world to get at all. That we should call good the day on which the author and finisher of our faith was sentenced to death by a kangaroo court and a mindless mob, was tortured with vicious whips and wicked fists, was put on display for the world to make mock of him and harass him, and then was brutally murdered. But we don't call it good, of course, for any of those reasons. We call it good because of what Jesus has done for us on this day. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for you and for me. Randy Matthews was one of the first musicians to come along in the Jesus People movement, and he sang back in the day, "Spilled his precious blood, sacrifice of love. We did not take his life from him, he gave it willingly to complete the prophecy. What's black is white, this wrong made right. The wrong made right." He did that on purpose for us. Now, I said a little bit ago that we do not call this day good on account of all the horrid things that Jesus suffered, but there is a sense in which that is exactly the reason why this is called Good Friday. It is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's going to be good news, we have to hear the bad news first. We have to know the bad news that Jesus suffered and died, and it was for our sakes, meaning our sins. His death frees us from our sin. That's a pretty good sentence to be able to say, wouldn't you think? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean a thing if we don't know that we've sinned, though, does it? Oh, my goodness. If you and I do not own up to our own sin and the serious thing that it is, then his death freeing us from our sins means nothing. It's a little bit like my response to those Rogaine commercials a few years ago that promised to restore 33% of your hair. For those of you listening on the radio and online, that's a funny line right there. Because I look in the mirror and I consider 33%, what in the world difference would that make that I would ever want that? If we don't understand the bad news first, the good news isn't good news at all. The price of my sin was the death of my Jesus. We have to start there. Because until I know that I am deserving of judgment as a sinner, I don't believe down deep in my heart that I need a Savior. Let me say that again. Until I know that I am deserving of judgment as a sinner, I don't believe down deep in my little prune heart that I need a Savior. Pastor Francis Chan out in California helped me understand it with an illustration. He said, you and I like to think of ourselves as being basically good people. Well, we do, don't we? We do. If we were to think of ourselves as animals, I don't know, what kind of an animal would you think of yourself as? It's a question. What kind of an animal would you think of yourself as? Never did think of that. Most of us would probably choose something that's at least an attractive kind of an animal for one reason or another. Let's say if we're picking up from the animals that inhabit my backyard on a regular basis, we might think of ourselves as cute, cuddly little squirrels. Everybody likes squirrels, right? As soon as you figure out how to keep them out of the bird feeder anyway. Everybody likes squirrels. Big liquid eyes, perky demeanor, fluffy tail, thrifty habits. Storing those nuts away for winter, you know. But God sees us not as we would like to be. God sees us first as we are. And the way we naturally are, with our fallen human nature, I hate to tell you this, we're not squirrels. We are not perky, cute, and charming. To look at the human race as we are, if we were to think of ourselves as animals, we would more naturally have to picture ourselves as rats. In our fallen state, that's where we are. Nothing cute about it. Vermin. Finks. Filthy. Treacherous. Sneaky. Thieving. Sewer dwelling. Bad smelling. Flea infested garbage eaters. That's me. But Pastor Chan says this, until you are convinced in your heart that by nature you're a rat, you're not ready for the next part of the good news, which is God is not an exterminator. God is not looking to exterminate us, quite the opposite. God wants to redeem us out of our sinful, ratly nature so that we can become not cute, fluffy, little, adorable, cuddly squirrels, much better than that. He wants to make of us strong sons and daughters, strong children of God, healthy kids of our Heavenly Father. And the lengths to which God has gone to achieve that. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite Lutherans of all time. Yeah, Frederick Buechner in his book, The Faces of Jesus, said this about Jesus' death. If death was to be truly defeated, it was only by dying himself that Jesus believed he could defeat it. If he was to reach the hearts of men and women, it was only by suffering his own heart to be broken on our behalf that he believed he could reach us. To heal the sick and restore sight to the blind, to preach good news to the poor and liberty to the captives, to wear himself out with endless teaching and traveling the whole length and breadth of the land, it had not worked. Because it was not enough. There had to be more. So he set his face to go to Jerusalem, the gospel says. And it was a journey from which he seems to have known that he would both never return and return always, even to the end of time and beyond. What Jesus is on the cross is not an accident. And when Jesus takes his place on the cross, it doesn't come as a surprise to him. He is instead fulfilling the purpose for which he has come, to die for the redemption of sinners. Of course, it is heartbreakingly tragic that the one who is all love has to suffer the pain of all sins. So we approach this good day unlike any other good day. But when we look at Jesus, if we leave out the cross, we leave out the reason for his having come to this planet in the first place. When he called his disciples, it was for the purpose of saving human beings from sin. When he cast out demons, it was for the purpose of saving human beings from sin. When he healed the sick, when he walked on water, when he spoke in parables, when he calmed the storm, when he talked about the kingdom, when he fed the masses, when he confronted the Pharisees, it was all of it for the purpose of saving us human beings from our sin. And that should have been enough. But we were still rats. And it was not enough. So Jesus, in his suffering and death, is doing what Jesus will have been doing no matter what part of his life we look at. Examine the life of Jesus at any point at all, and we will find that he is doing what he does for the sake of saving human beings from their sin. He is constant. He is consistent. He is faithful. He is persistent. He doesn't stop. He never quits. He doesn't take a day off. He's worse than the Terminator about this. We who follow him need to remember this. There is no higher purpose in Jesus' life than to be doing what he does for the sake of saving sinners from their sin. We who follow him, we are called to have lives that have crosses in them, two to be exact. The one is the cross that Jesus died on. We need that cross in our hearts to turn us back to our Savior every single day. Someone in one of my previous churches asked me once, why do we say a prayer confession? Why do you always start off with us praying a prayer confession in the pastoral prayer every week while we're praying along with you? I said, because I don't know about you, but I need it. And I need it more than once a week, and many times I need it more than once a day. And it's a pretty good date, let's be honest with each other, shall we? Wouldn't that be nice? Let's be honest with each other. I find that it's a pretty good... No, I'm going to talk to you now. I picked on him enough. I find that it's a pretty good day if I can get by with only needing a prayer confession once a day. You too? I knew you were a brother. I knew it when I saw you. Yeah. The cross on which Jesus died, the cross in the shadow of which we take for our abiding place when we receive our Savior, that's the one cross. And the second cross in our life is the one that he asks us to pick up. Our own life of service to follow where he has gone, our own method by which the world will shame us and seek to destroy us, precisely because we're following Jesus this way. And we are following Jesus this way, all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to Calvary, and beyond Calvary. And that's the part that would have surprised anybody else on the scene that Good Friday. For there is something beyond Calvary, and boy, is it good. Oh my, is it good. For Jesus, although he achieved victory over sin when he was on that cross, did not stay there. Even greater things happened on the third day after his death. You've maybe heard the old Baptist preacher that likes to preach that message every Easter. It's Friday. Sunday's coming. You have heard that. Come back to church on Sunday. You're likely to hear even more about that. Meanwhile, let us not be, as Christians very often to our sorrow have been, let us not be in a hurry to walk away from the cross. Let us not be in a hurry to leave Calvary. Let us stick around and allow the awe of the crucified Messiah, the awe of Jesus Christ, to enter into our hearts. Here's a video that we hope will help us do that.
Every crime against humanity, every genocide, every unspeakable act of oppression and tyranny, every act of terrorism, every starving nation ignored, every drop of martyred blood, every orphan and widow abandoned, Every stranger in need passed by. Every deviant and perverse lifestyle. Every marriage torn asunder. Every word uttered in hate. Every injustice. Every theft. Every grudge. Every bitterness. Every lust. Every fear. Every lie. Every doubt. Everyone. Oh, the weight of the cross. Oh, the strength of the one who bears it.
As we come to the end of the service here, we'll be singing the Old Rugged Cross, and I didn't introduce myself. I'm Dave Nicholson, the minister here at First Church of Christ. But we want to welcome everyone and to thank everyone for coming, and as well as listening on the airways, and that, again, thanks, Tom, for bringing the message. Jesus went so that we can have that hope. So,
would everybody stand and join us, please?
Yeah. Pastor Robin Owen from the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministries, which is four Lutheran churches in Mercer and Jay County, St. Paul Liberty Township, St. Paul Washington Township, Trinity in Fort Recovery, and St. James in Salamone, Indiana. Let us pray. Merciful God, receive the sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and the offering of our lives, that following in the way of the cross, we may know the joy of the resurrection through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. May God, who has called us forth from the dust of the earth and made us children of the light, strengthen you in your journey into life renewed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Marked with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This concludes the service today, and have a good Easter and a blessed day today. Thank you for coming.
You've been listening to the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service from the First Church of Christ on Union City Road, south of Fort Recovery. This Good Friday service has been brought to you by Fort Recovery Insurance, Calp Pharmacy, and Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery. We hope you enjoyed the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service here today from the First Church of Christ on Union City Road, just south of Fort Recovery. You're listening to WPGW AM and FM, Portland, Indiana, PG14, J Country 101 Radio.
WPGW AM and FM, Portland.